Hello, and welcome to episode number 19 of the Point of Convergence podcast. As always, I'm your host, Exoacademian. When we look back at the history of the topic collectively referred to as high strangeness, it's clear that for a long time, various phenomena were studied as distinct fields of inquiry, and often so-called ghost hunters, Bigfoot investigators, and UFO researchers were distinct groups of people who kept to their own lane, so to speak. As we've discussed previously on the Point of Convergence podcast, over time it has become clear that this is likely not the best way to approach these topics because there appears to be a repeated overlap between them. For instance, a person who experiences one of these kinds of uncanny encounters is much more likely than an average random individual from the general population to experience other kinds as well. Indeed, one of the most useful predictors of someone experiencing any form of high strangeness, whether that be a UFO sighting, contact with non-human intelligence, a near-death experience, remote sensing, or an out-of-body experience, is that they've already experienced any of the phenomena from this list. That tells us that clearly, some people seem hardwired to perceive and experience a broader bandwidth of reality than the general population. But uniquely gifted and sensitive individuals only represent one of the ways that we see overlap between these various kinds of contact modalities. Another fascinating data point that has emerged from a cross-disciplinary study of various forms of high strangeness is that certain particular locations seem more prone than others to be hosts to such paranormal phenomena. There are numerous examples of such places around the world. The Uinta Basin of Utah, Sedona, Arizona, New Zealand's Kaikoura Mountain Range region, the Egyptian pyramids, the United Kingdom's Stonehenge, New York's Hudson Valley, the Bermuda Triangle, and many more. Often these locations are not only known for just one particular kind of paranormal encounter, but several. This has led some to postulate that such places may be paranormal throughways of some kind, where different realities can and do sometimes overlap and interact. This hypothesis suggests that it's not necessarily that different entities and phenomena are related to each other per se, but that different entities are simply using the same interdimensional portals to gain access to our world. Indeed, these other world gates, as we might call them, might not just be the bridge between two worlds, but a nexus point joining together multiple worlds and/or parallel realities. At least that's one possibility. Another possibility is that what we observe in these porous, thin places between worlds is one singular phenomenon that knows how to disguise itself in many forms. The existence of such portals is a mind-boggling notion, and yet the data certainly points in this direction. And it makes one wonder what might be possible if we could gain access to these throughways ourselves. Are these locations the exit points for wormholes long ago established by non-human intelligences from elsewhere in our universe, or from a different universe entirely? And what does the existence of such portals suggest about ultimate reality? These and other fascinating questions are the topic of this, the 19th episode of the Point of Convergence podcast. As we begin today's episode, like last week, I would just like to ask you to keep an open mind about this notion that there may exist portals between worlds. I know that sounds far out. It sounds like science fiction. And yet, when one looks at a place like Skinwalker Ranch, for instance, which has been studied extensively, this certainly seems like a leading hypothesis based on the evidence at hand. Now, in the introduction to today's episode, I mentioned numerous locations around the world that are known for a high occurrence of high strangeness. But what we're going to focus on today is Skinwalker Ranch. And not just Skinwalker Ranch, but the entire Uinta Basin of Utah. The entire area is known for paranormal phenomena and has been known for that for a very long time. Skinwalker Ranch may not be the most paranormal place on Earth, but it is the most studied, and that's why we're going to focus on it today. And to be clear, when I say studied, I don't just mean stories passed down from person to person and generation to generation, although that's certainly part of the picture at Skinwalker Ranch and the general Uinta Basin. No, I'm talking about full-on scientific studies done by well-equipped science teams. In fact, there's been not one but two well-equipped science teams on hand at Skinwalker Ranch, and they have conducted numerous experiments over time geared to testing various hypotheses. This is why this is such a significant place when it comes to this particular topic. Now, in today's podcast episode, we don't have time to go into the long history of the area, but very quickly, the term Skinwalker is a part of Navajo culture and beliefs. And basically the story goes that the Ute, who are the Indian population there now, believe that the Navajo put a curse on them. The curse is the Skinwalker. Now, in terms of the area and who has lived there over the last several decades, the Sherman family owned what was known as Sherman Ranch. Then Robert Bigelow purchased from the Shermans, and he established NIDS in 1995. And then Brandon Fugel, most recently, is a real estate mogul who purchased Skinwalker Ranch in 2016. And in reference to the two science teams that I mentioned earlier, Robert Bigelow set up the first one. That was NIDS, which is the National Institute for Discovery Science. And then Brandon Fugel, who purchased the property from him, who also has a great interest in the paranormal, then set up his own science team, and they've been conducting investigations ever since. Now, if you've been tuning into the Point of Convergence podcast for a while now, you know that the premise we're going with is that UFOs are a part of a larger phenomenon, that the contact modalities are all related, that they are like spokes in the wheel of one central phenomenon, and that perhaps consciousness is the bedrock that connects them all. And Skinwalker Ranch is certainly a fascinating case in point when it comes to this particular way of seeing things, because UFOs are just the beginning of the story of Skinwalker Ranch. Now, UFOs are certainly part of the picture at Skinwalker Ranch. They've been observed there many times, and even recently, and all sorts of different kinds as well. Everything from block-like RVs up in the sky, to your typical silvery saucer shapes, to orbs, and everything in between. But again, that's just a small aspect of the total phenomena noticed at Skinwalker Ranch over time. And we have to consider all of the data to do justice to this phenomenon. If we're to legitimately generate hypotheses, we can't gloss over data. We can't exclude data just because it's inconvenient. Now, as I've stated before, I certainly understand the temptation to exclude certain bizarre and absurd elements that are observed there, because the mainstream culture will not take it seriously. But that's the problem. If we stick to only observing and documenting, even more importantly, that which fits with mainstream perspectives, we're not likely to make any headway, because clearly this is telling us something about reality that is new, that breaks out of the typical paradigm. That's why it's so important that we have to document accurately everything that's seen and generate hypotheses based on that complete data set. Now, with that rant for honest science and looking at the entire data set, let's move on. Let's now discuss some of the phenomena that have been noticed at the ranch over time. And as we begin, I'd like to give a shout out to George Knapp. Much of this research is his. He's been on site many times and over years collecting this evidence. Let me give you one example. The son of the family that lived there, he and his friends moved a huge cord of wood from one part of the property to another. Then they went inside to do something. They came back, and the entire cord of wood had been moved back to its original location, but not exactly in the same orientation, but it had been moved back. So not only did it take them a long time to move all of this wood from one location to the next, but when they went back outside, the entire cord of wood had been moved back. No one else was there to do it. Another example. Now, this was the first day on the ranch for the family, and this gives you an idea of how shocking this would be. One day, as the story goes, they were at the ranch and they noticed a very, very large wolf-like looking dog or some sort of creature like that in the distance. This creature got closer and closer and was quite docile with them. In fact, a couple of them even stroked its fur. It was very large, sort of came up to the chest of the father of this family. Anyway, what eventually happened is this wolf-like creature caught sight of one of the calves and reached in and tried and grab this thing by its jaws and pull it out. They ended up shooting at this creature multiple times, 6 times, I think. And eventually, even after flesh popped out, it still didn't look that perturbed. And eventually it sort of trotted off. What's strange is they followed it, and there was still snow on the ground at the time, and they followed it out, tried to follow the tracks of this creature, and the tracks just ended in the snow, just stopped, and the thing was no longer there. They didn't see where it went. It's almost like it just disappeared or was taken away or something. Very strange. Now, what's even stranger is when later on, the scientific team showed the family, each individually, different pictures of different kinds of wolves and dogs. Every family member picked out this one particular photo, and it was of a dire wolf, which is a huge wolf that went extinct 10,000 years ago. I'll let you chew on that for a minute. Now, what was also shocking and actually traumatizing to the family was cattle mutilation. They lost multiple cattle, and as we know, cattle mutilation is part of this phenomenon. It's hard to know who's doing it and how it's connected to UFOs exactly or non-human intelligence, but it does seem to be part of the same phenomenon, and it certainly has been noticed and happened multiple times at Skinwalker Ranch. Sometimes people would hear what sounded like underground machinery, and again, this is a very remote ranch out in the middle of nowhere, and when no farm equipment was being used, they would hear what sounded like underground machinery. Very strange. In fact, George Knapp and others have brought out remote viewers, and they actually saw what they perceived as underground military bases of some kind, that this was perhaps making this machinery sound. But the area was never dug up to determine if that was the case. Now let's discuss another harrowing encounter, and this involved two creatures, very different creatures, in the same incident. One time it was noticed over by a section of trees. Two creatures were noticed. The one below was very round and looked like a giant round hairball, basically. Almost like a bear, but very round. That kind of fur. And above this, up in the tree, were noticed two huge eyes. They were about the size of a forearm each. And they ended up shooting at both creatures. The one below was hit and then apparently just seemed to pop into non-existence. Above, the other creature was also hit, and it jumped out of the tree. And in fact, when they went over to that area, there was still snow on the ground. They found a huge, what looked like talon track in the snow. But it was huge. It looked like the size of basically a raptor, like a dinosaur-era raptor, there on the ranch. To be clear, this was at nighttime, and after finding this talon track, they tried to scan the entire area for any sign of either of these creatures, but none was found. There have also been incidences involving birds that were quite strange. Modern birds, though, not giant dinosaur birds. For instance, a flock of Canada geese were coming over, and they were in your typical V formation. But when they came over the ranch, they suddenly broke up their formation, almost like they were disoriented, and flew around the ranch, basically. And it's interesting because in Brandon Fugel's team, they have found evidence that there may be some sort of anomaly well up in the air above the ranch. In fact, that's even been one of the hypotheses, that perhaps the anomalous source is actually located above the ranch. Now, various other kinds of strange humanoid creatures have also been noticed. One is kind of like a predator-like creature. And when I say predator-like, I'm referring to the movie where the being is mostly transparent, like you can see the background behind it, and it's difficult to even make out where it is. Also, strange shadowy figures have been noticed in and around a couple of the different homesteads. And we mentioned the Court of Wood. That's just one of many poltergeist-like activities that are often on hand at the ranch. Now, some of those accounts may stretch your ability to comprehend or to believe, but there are some accounts that are even stranger still. And when George Knapp recounted this one particular incident, you could tell he was struggling with it because it sounds so absurd. But again, we can't ignore this. And to George Knapp's credit, he didn't ignore it, because absurdity seems to be part and parcel with this phenomenon. The question of why we can get to later. But let me first give you this particular account. One time, it was noticed that 2 6-foot-tall figures were standing in trench coats, smoking cigarettes, no less. When they went to confront these two figures, they turned around to reveal dog-like faces. That's right, 6-foot-tall figures in trench coats, smoking cigarettes with dog-like faces. Incredibly absurd, right? It stretches our belief to the max and beyond. What's even stranger is, even beyond Skinwalker Ranch, these kind of creatures have been noticed elsewhere and are part of the UFO phenomenon literature. Again, why is a different question. What it means is a different question. We have to begin with, reckoning with, and making note of this aspect of the data, no matter how absurd it is. I should also point out that it's clear that these were not just a couple of jokers, a couple of human beings wearing dog masks. When they went to try and investigate, these things disappeared. And I think from the documentation, the cigarettes were left behind, but no trace of these creatures, these humanoid figures with dog-like faces. Very strange. When we consider the evidence from Skinwalker Ranch, it should also be clear that this doesn't happen all the time. It's not like if you go to the ranch within a few minutes or a few hours, or even necessarily a few days, you're going to run into these paranormal phenomena. In fact, George Knapp has accounted being there several times and not noticing anything. It's over time that these things happen. Some people seem to stir up activity more than others. There are other kinds of activity that seem to stir up this phenomenon. That includes bringing strangers to the ranch, making noise, and particularly digging into the ground, apparently causes something to rise up and react. Now, before moving on to an analysis of this data, I'd like to recount one more story, and it has to do with UFOs, but not like a UFO you've heard of before, probably. One time they noticed what looked like a Winnebago's lights or something like that, a large vehicle, RV-like vehicle, coming down the road. And there's only one road into this ranch, by the way. And they were kind of annoyed, thinking, how did someone get out here? Must be lost. Let's go give them directions, help them turn around. What happened was, as they went out, these lights got closer and closer. And then suddenly, the lights started going up and up and up, went into the sky, well above their heads, thousands of feet, and then whoosh, they were gone. Very strange. Looked like something on the ground at night, then went up into the air, size of an RV, and then off into the distance and gone. And this is just some of the high strangeness that's been documented at the ranch. But clearly you can see there is a plethora of paranormal activity here. Now let's move on to the psychological effects that are on display at the ranch as well. And as we know, and as you probably heard me discuss many times before on this podcast, psychological psychic effects are a huge aspect of the phenomenon. In fact, some people, like Jacques Vallée, for instance, think it's central to the phenomenon. And that's certainly been the case here at Skinwalker Ranch as well. One time, it was noted that UFOs were seen up in the sky at night. And what's strange is, as the people went outside to look, they suddenly felt giddiness, like a real euphoria come over them, almost like a laughter as well, that it felt like these UFOs themselves were directly impacting their consciousness, making them feel this, that somehow their brain waves were being manipulated, causing this reaction. There was nothing in the environment to make them react this way, and yet it happened to each of them. And there was more than one of these kinds of occurrences. On a completely different occasion, something else was noticed up in the sky. And this particular object caused them to have an opposite reaction, that they actually were fearful and they felt fear come over them. Again, they didn't feel like this was their natural reaction. It felt like their cerebral cortex was being directly manipulated somehow. Now, as a quick aside here, I want to remind you that this is not unscientific individuals reporting these events. A lot of these events were recorded and documented by the science teams themselves, people who are trained to be objective in how they observe and record things. Now let's discuss something to do with portals specifically. In the introduction, I mentioned that the idea that Skinwalker Ranch may be a hotspot because it is a portal between worlds or different dimensions of reality. Now, not only are interdimensional portals an intriguing hypothesis to potentially explain the various phenomena noted at the ranch, but there were actually several occasions where people noticed what looked like portals opening up. On more than one occasion, for instance, up in the sky in broad daylight, a large orange circle would appear, almost like a second sun. And when they looked closely, they could see through this like it was a hole, and behind that, a different sky. Yes, indeed. And on more than one occasion, it was even noted that something flew out of this hole, apparently, into our reality. Sounds bizarre, but this was what was observed. Another time, about 3 to 4 feet off the ground, a small, very bright circle was noticed. And this circle would expand until it was about 3 or 4 feet in diameter. And it looked almost like a tunnel, like it was three-dimensional. Even stranger, a humanoid creature was seen elbowing its way out of this and stepping out into our reality. Again, this was noted and seen at the ranch. Now, even as I read those notes out loud to you, I recognize how bizarre that sounds. It sounds like science fiction. A huge majority of the population would dismiss this outright. They would say it's impossible. It sounds like a hallucination or someone with too much imagination. But I want to remind you that science teams, two of them in fact, have been on the ground over years observing and documenting this phenomenon. And they focus on science. They run experiments, they adjust variables, see how that changes the behavior. They basically treat it like a paranormal living lab. And they try and exclude other factors that may cause people to hallucinate, for instance. They have looked into geomagnetic anomalies. They've looked into psychedelic plants that perhaps are perfuming in the area and causing people to hallucinate. But they have found nothing to explain the phenomenon. At least nothing that would explain the phenomenon according to the parameters of mainstream scientific materialism, that is. Now let's move on to discussing the notion of the trickster. Now, the trickster is a figure that is brought up when we talk about Skinwalker Ranch because of the psychological trickery that seems to be on display. The notion of the trickster is common in various Native American traditions and various shamanic traditions around the world. The trickster is an archetypal figure common to a variety of human traditions. Now, when some people talk about the trickster, they think about it in terms of a joker that is just using psychological manipulation to play with us for no apparent reason, other than it enjoys the process, perhaps. But there has been some deeper analysis suggesting that perhaps the trickster is a manifestation of our own collective subconscious, or perhaps of the life force itself, which is designed to force us into new ways of thinking because it exposes our assumptions, especially our mainstream dominant assumptions. It uses absurdity and psychological trickery to get us to think differently. And again, this would fit well with the documented aspects of the UFO phenomenon. Now let's bring this around to a couple of the questions we posed in the introduction to today's episode. What is the phenomena noticed at Skinwalker Ranch tell us about ultimate reality? And how could we potentially explain it? Well, we've discussed the idea of interdimensional portals. And modern science considers this in terms of wormholes and the multiverse. The idea with wormholes is that you can actually open up a connection between two very different aspects of physical reality. For instance, it would be a shortcut between two very distant parts of our physical universe. Perhaps even you could connect to different universes through this kind of shortcut. That's what a wormhole is. And when you listen to the postulations about what a wormhole would look like, it sounds a lot like what we have described at Skinwalker Ranch when those portals were noticed as opening up. I only bring this to your attention to make the point that this is not science fiction. This is mainstream science today. Wormholes are believed to be a part of our physical universe. It's not a far-out idea. Indeed, scientists and astronomers are already postulating ways we could use wormholes to facilitate travel to distant parts of our galaxy and beyond. The idea is we could potentially open them. The real challenge now is figuring out how you would stabilize them long enough to use them as highways of a sort to travel to distant parts of our cosmos. Now let's take this a step further and consider a few different ways that species, intelligences, may be able to traverse the distance between not just two different locations in the same physical universe, but actually traverse the distance between two different universes or two different dimensions of physical reality. And it's important not to conflate these three, because I think there's more than one way this could happen. Technology is one way, that if you develop a sophisticated enough technology, perhaps you would use wormholes or something like that to open up these portals. And when we consider the advanced spacefaring races that are encountered within the UFO phenomenon literature, this may be how they are accomplishing this task. They are using a shortcut like a wormhole, opening that up to traverse these immense distances. And it's their technology that enables this. Another possibility is that some creatures have an inherent evolutionary capacity that allows them to traverse the gap between two different aspects of physical reality, two different universes, as it were. And these creatures wouldn't be using advanced technology. They might not have that technology whatsoever. Their understanding of reality might even be quite rudimentary, and yet they have this inherent evolutionary capacity. One of the creatures, in fact, noticed at Skinwalker Ranch is what we would consider a Bigfoot. In fact, an entire family has been noticed, but only at certain times. You can't usually find them there. What if these creatures are actually interdimensional and they have an innate evolutionary capacity that allows them to traverse these gaps? A third option that occurs to me is not a wormhole opened up through technological means, nor a traversing of that gap by an evolutionary capacity, as a creature like Bigfoot, for instance. But what if some wormholes just have been opened up and stabilized between different worlds, and some creatures just happen to have stumbled across these openings, and they use it to traverse between the two worlds? This might also be the case, and this might explain the bizarre collection of creatures we find at a place like Skinwalker Ranch. And now I'd like to share a final thought with you based on today's discussion. We should be astonished by the plethora of wondrous possibilities that exist just beyond the periphery of our everyday perception. We should be inspired and in awe of the complex interwoven tapestry of life, apparently spawned by the energy of consciousness, the bedrock of all reality, that gives rise to a multiverse teeming with life, both conventional and unconventional. But just as one might go exploring in the rich, colorful jungles of the Amazon, one should remember to bring a compass and a guide, bring provisions, and be aware of one's surroundings. And on that note, we've come to the close of another edition of the Point of Convergence podcast. As always, let's keep this conversation going and growing. Please continue to spread the word. But until next time, friends, from deep within the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, this is Exo Academian, signing out.